Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House insists President Trump is okay after being diagnosed with a chronic condition affecting the veins in his legs. The president's doctor says it's a benign and common condition for seniors.
This diagnosis is a progressive one, meaning that there's no curative treatment or intervention, so it certainly can lead to persistent swelling, which can lead to persistent pain and difficulty with mobility. With at the age of 79 can be difficult. At the age of 79, while also being the president, can be a tremendous amount of work.
ABC medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton. The president expected to sign a series of bills related to cryptocurrencies later today. The House passing that bill on Thursday and overnight passing the bill pulling back $9 billion in federal funding that had already been allocated for international health aid and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The White House and the president asking Attorney General Pam Bondi to release the full grand jury testimony related to the Jeffrey Epstein case. This is ABC News. A sigh of relief in the Big Easy as the risk of severe storms and flooding from a tropical system in the Gulf decreases. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
Local leaders in Louisiana were taking no chances as a tropical disturbance moved in from the east.
If we get one of these torrential downpours, where it may be hard to delineate the road from the ditch, just be careful.
The immediate flooding risk has eased, but Lafourche Parish President Archie Chasson III hopes his constituents use it as a dry run.
Continue to get your game plan together. Pack that go bag with food and water and medicine in case something does pop up later on.
Hurricane season doesn't end until November. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Cooking out burgers this summer has been a lot more expensive. Beef prices are moving up into record territory. New federal numbers show the average price for a pound of ground beef is now more than $6, up 12% in a year. The price of steaks are up around 8%, helping to drive the prices up, the smallest American cattle herds in nearly 75 years. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Phoenix Center has made lunch easy and delicious. Now open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. They serve a full menu with a strong focus on lunch favorites. Think burgers, salad, wraps, sandwiches, and signature appetizers. While they're closed on Sundays, the rest of the week offers a convenient way to break up the day. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner with the family, the Phoenix Center delivers even to go. Call 649-7469 for carryout and don't miss their famous pizza, a local favorite in Richland Center.
Your forecast today calls for highs to be in the upper 70s, southeast winds 5 to 12. Look for morning sun to give way to clouds later. By tonight, cloudy, showers and storms likely late, and some could have heavy rainfall. Lows in the mid-60s, south winds of 5. Saturday, occasional showers and thunderstorms possible through mid-afternoon, then some peaks of sun late, highs of 83. And Sunday, sunny to partly cloudy, highs of 80. Winds are out of the west at 2 and it's 64 degrees. Our morning show is coming up.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot. Summer means cookouts, vacations, and backyard ball games. But in the middle of all the fun, don't forget to call Meyer Oil and LP for your summer propane fill. Now's the time to take advantage of lower seasonal prices. If you're thinking about switching fuel providers, give Meyer Oil and LP a call. They offer reliable service, flexible delivery, and competitive pricing you can count on. Proudly serving the area at 608-524-3914. Fuel your summer the smart way. Summer's in full swing, and so are the postseason Kinsey Planter deals at Johnson Tractor. All July, you can lock in special pricing while the sun's high and inventory lasts. Upgrade your operation now, beat the rush, and get expert help from the team every step of the way. Make the summer count. Visit Johnson Tractor or browse Kinsey Planters online. The best deals of the year are waiting, but only through July.
Johnson Tractor, from man to lawn.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust.
And welcome to the Morning Show. I'm Joanne Krulatz, filling in again today for the vacationing Phil Nee. He'll be back on Monday. Today we're talking about things in the Richland School District with Carrie Stoltz, Director of Marketing and Communications, and then Liz Perkins and Ryan Lemke, co-principals at the Richland Center High School, are here as well today. Good morning, and Carrie, even though it is summertime, the school district is gearing up for a busy year.
We are, yeah. This is my second summer with the district, and I really think that it's going to be low-key and easygoing, and inevitably there is a lot to do and a lot going on. And so it's always surprising. You think you're going to get a little break, and it doesn't quite happen that way. Always something new on the horizon.
Well, I know before we went on the air, you were talking about some of the things you're already doing, and it's like, okay, what's left to do then when September hits?
So much. I mean, the kids will be back in building, which will be great. They are missed, but we do see a lot of them. There's a lot of things going on in the building. Every day I happen to be behind the driver's ed car when I left this morning. There's a lot of weightlifting programs going on. The volleyball team is having OTAs. The basketball team had OTAs. I think soccer and baseball, a lot of them are in the building and doing work. And then we also have summer school, which just wrapped up for the primary and intermediate school kiddos. Yesterday, that was summer session one. There's another session coming up, and they are at the high school for summer school this year mainly because of all the construction going on at the primary school. So we even had some littles roaming the halls for a while, and they were participating in Spanish classes and library, and I really hope had just a great time there with their teachers and exploring high school a little bit.
You know, this was many moons ago because I'm old, but when I was in school, you know, you always thought of summer school for the ones who didn't make it during the year, that they were falling behind. But that's not the case anymore, is it?
No, not at all. We do offer, the very beginning of the summer, we had credit recovery for some of our high schoolers who needed to just have a little credit work. But the Littles summer school is really trying to prevent that summer slide that can happen. And so keeping them going and up to date and just really engaging them. And summer school is open to everyone. So if you've got Littles in the district, you would have missed the registration deadline now. But give a call. We can probably still get you in if you're interested in doing summer session two. And yes, it is not just for kids who are struggling or anything like that. Anybody who wants to kind of prevent that summer slide that we know happens every year with all of our kiddos, this can help get them in the building and get them doing some more learning too.
Well, as the Director of Marketing and Communications, you're always trying to get the district out there so that people know what's going on. So what are some of the things that you've been trying to make the public aware of?
Yeah, so actually there is a newsletter that'll actually be in mailboxes here pretty soon. I think the first one's kind of dropped yesterday. And so that's got a lot of great information about the district and just something we like to do about three times a year to let the public know everything that's going on or some of the things that are going on that we're working on. That one in particular has some updates about the primary school and some interior photos because you can't get in there unless you wear a hard hat right now. So hopefully that will give people a little inside clue as to what's going on over there. Lots of construction. Most of it will be completed in time for the kids to arrive in the fall, but not all of it. So a little update there. Also introducing Mr. Armijo, our new intermediate school principal, and I think Steve had him on the radio just recently. And then just some other updates in the buildings, stuff that happened at the end of the year. Intermediate school was recognized for some great work. Primary school got a grant for their book vending machine. Just lots of great stuff that's going on. And so a way that maybe people who don't follow us on social media or get the newspaper and see the updates that are there, this kind of makes sure that it goes to every post office box. And we really make sure we get in front of the community because they support us and help us out so much. And it would be really, really hard to run the school that we do without having the community support that we do. Our community is ever gracious and so supportive, and we appreciate it and definitely want them to know what's going on too.
Well, I got my newsletter, so, and I don't have kids in school anymore. I think that's what's important. It's for everyone, whether you have kids in school or not.
Yeah, definitely. It's the support we need at all ages, so we want to make sure that we are communicating with, you know, young families who maybe don't have kids in school yet and letting them know, you know, we have educational programs and 4K programs, and there's things that you can do to get ready for school too, reading to your child. Those kind of things are super important all the way through school and then also beyond, because our community supports scholarships and comes to sporting events and comes to musical events and all of that stuff. And it's so important to have that community connection there. And we appreciate it so much. The Richland Center community, I did not realize before I worked in the school district just how much they support us, just how much they're behind us. And we cannot say thank you enough.
You know, you mentioned two updates to the primary construction building project. And as it gets closer to the beginning of school, if parents are concerned about their child going there, can they contact the district? What can they?
Most definitely. So the district, Amy Hardy and then Brandy Pizer, who's her administrative assistant, they are normally in the building every day. They've been over at the high school for the mornings for summer school this week. But yes, you can give a call. The primary school staff is there. They can answer questions for you. Phone lines still work, everything like that. And it's we made that switch probably 2-3 weeks ago where it was done with demo and now it's rebuilding. So it was nice to see that kind of switch happen. And a lot of the updates should be done in time for school. So you're going to start seeing the outdoor parking lots and that kind of stuff starting to get refinished. And it'll look a lot different very quickly now that we're kind of past that demo stage.
You also wanted to remind students of things they need to have done before school starts.
I do, especially our athletes. So athletes, just quick plug, you need to get those sports physicals in, and you also need to do the concussion protocols. Really, really important. So you are not sidelined for the beginning of the season because it is coming up quick. I think the first football scrimmage is August?
Second or third.
It's really soon. So then we start games right after that. So make sure you guys are not sidelined for that. And then I will also put in a plug to parents that in a couple weeks they should be looking out for registration. Online registration will open for school and athletics. And then that will be a couple weeks before we have super registration on August 12th. So that will run from 1 to 7 and be at the high school. We've done this for a couple years now. It's worked pretty well. And we have everybody come to the high school. If you've done your online registration already, it's super quick. There are all of the buildings have staff there that you can meet with if you need to meet with somebody. Busing's there, food service is there, the fees table is there. Then you get your picture taken and on your way. So it ran really slick last year. That was my first year really being involved. And we're hoping for another great day of that as well. So
super registration is a little later this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's about a week later. I think it just kind of the timing worked out well to do it that day. And we have to work with the photographers to make sure we can get enough photographers there all at the same time so that we don't have any bottlenecks and everybody can get in and out, you know, swiftly. So it's so nice to have the photographers there, not during the school day. Mom and dad can make sure the hair looks fine and have the kids looking their best before they come in. And it's amazing how many nice shirts you see on the top and shorts on the bottom. So,
well, you know, whatever works, works. I think, you know, that is good that they can have their pictures and everything done at one time. I think when Steve was on, he kind of mentioned, you know, you dress them all up, you fix their hair, they get on the school bus, and by the time the photographer comes, it's not what you sent them to school.
What was it? We had hot dogs for lunch one day for retakes, and they're like, really? Like, ketchup on the shirt. So you just never know.
Well, you know, we've been talking about things going on to prepare for school, but there's also been a lot of changes in the school board itself, and they recently, well, we've got our third new board member in just a matter of, it seems like 3 months.
Yeah.
And
We had our meeting on Wednesday, which was a change because we have had a couple guest speakers coming in to do some board development, just to really let our board ask questions of how other school boards run and get some information. And so that was great to see. Wednesday was our third session, so there's one more for board development. And yeah, we have a new board member. Tiffany Thompson is our newest board member. She was just sworn in on Wednesday. And then Jill Sharp was a month ago, and then Brian Miller. So we have three new members who have been there, you know, less than a couple months. But it is awesome to see them working with our more seasoned board members, seeing that kind of willingness to serve is fantastic. We have had people willing to step up and be a part of our board, and it is really awesome to see that level of commitment to the community and to our school district. And we really, really appreciate them and look forward to all the things our board's going to do in the future. I think we're pretty set for now. We'll see when elections roll around if we maintain or have any more changes. But that's been the amazing part for me, is seeing people willing to serve. And especially this last one was a very specific district or a very specific area that you had to live in. The previous one was an at-large seat. And so seeing that everywhere, in every corner of our community, there are people who are willing to stand up, raise their hand, and say, yeah, I'm willing to serve. So that was awesome to see. And we're excited to welcome them all to the board.
Well, and I think, too, it's some of them, even their kids were in school, but now they feel they have more time now that the kids are older. And to still see that commitment.
Yeah, that vested interest in your community. I mean, once a hornet, always a hornet, right? And we see it. We'll see it at homecoming, too. We'll have reunion classes coming through. And, you know, it's awesome to see all of the commitment that there is to Richland Center and to our high school. I think everyone has a soft spot for where you go to high school or where your kids go to high school, or even the community you've moved into, knowing that it's a part of it. I mean, orange and black is really prevalent in our community. And so we really appreciate seeing that and seeing the connection that the community has, and really, really appreciate the willingness to serve, like you said, even after your kids are out of school, and just having that heart for your school district, no matter if you went here, your school, your kids went here, or you just live here. We'd love to see it.
Well, youth are our future. Well, one of the things that the board made a decision on was actually something brought up by Liz and Ryan, and it deals with personal communication devices or cell phones at the school. And they kind of went with your decision, didn't they?
Yes, they did. About a month ago, Ryan and I sent out an email to families letting them know about this proposed change in our handbook. Every year, our handbooks go to the board just to review for any changes we make. They're usually not large changes, but this was a bigger one that we wanted to be very transparent about with our students, with parents, with the community, because we recognize that we're all very dependent on our cell phones. But we have noticed, this is our third year going in as co-principals, we really feel like we are getting a feel for the building and our teachers and our students now. And we just noticed that we felt that cell phones were a major distraction to our students, whether it be social, academic, or social emotional. We thought this would be a good time to just make this change. So the proposal we made was to have that students could bring their cell phones in the building. They can have them at the beginning of the day till that first bell rings, and then we'd like them to stay in lockers turned off the remainder of the day, and then they can have them at the end of the day before they leave. So this gives them a little bit of an opportunity in the morning to take those pictures, whether it be homecoming week and you're, you know, dressed as a twin with someone, you know, you can take that picture right before school starts, but we really want them engaged with their classmates. And even in lunch times, we went to two lunches this last year. We'd originally had three, and we were really worried about the noise level, like this could be noisier. We're going down to two lunches, and we noticed that it wasn't noisy because a lot of our students were looking at their phones rather than the peers across the table. So just a lot of observations. We've read The Anxious Generation. We've looked at other studies and just felt like this was the right move for our students.
So it wasn't just a personal decision. This was based on research and studies.
Yes. And along with some of our staff, we've read this book, had discussions, a book study, just to make sure that we were making the right decision, because we care about our students. We want them to have a voice in the school, but we also recognize that we are leading this building and we have to do what's right for our students.
And it seems like the community supports your decision.
Yeah, we had an overwhelmingly support, right? I think Ryan sent the email originally and within an hour, I think we had emails like, great, I've been waiting for this. Thank you so much for making this initiative, recognizing that it is a big one, but just phone calls, conversations in the community, they're hearing about this, whether it be through the morning show or watching the board meetings. But all in all, it's been very, very, very supportive.
And for those who maybe have concerns, you're dealing with those as well.
Yeah, there's a couple things to note. Our students are given a device at the start of the school year. They have a Chromebook. They each have their own individual email. They have the ability to communicate with their parents, with a classmate. If they have to ask about an assignment that they're working together on, there will be opportunities that they can send that email throughout the day. They may have to ask their teacher, hey, I need to email my mom. I forgot, you know, my shoes for practice tonight. Can I send that email? I feel that all of our teachers would understand that. We also have two phones in our office. One is in the main area when you walk in, but there is another phone in a conference room in the back. So if a student just needs a private conversation that nobody hears about, we are willing to let them use that phone. We're not going to sit back there and listen in. So we want to make sure that they have the opportunity for a private conversation too. So we've taken all those things into consideration, and we will make accommodations in our office or using their Chromebook if they need to communicate with an employer. We also use SportsU, and our students are probably used to a SportsU app on their phone, but you can log into SportsU on your Chromebook and get those emails and messages from your coach. If a game would be delayed or canceled or practice is shifted, they can still get those notifications.
So SportsU is an app then?
SportsU is an app, but it's also you can log in on your Chromebook.
Okay. And that's basically just for the athletes.
There's actually clubs too. So all of our clubs, our student council, our classes have a code for each thing that they're involved in. So they can get all those notifications for clubs as well.
Wow. It's amazing all the things you can get on your phone. And then we wonder why, you know, the youth are always face to screen.
Yeah, and it's not just them. I mean, as adults, we are too. I often get that notification of how much I've spent on my phone, and it's a shocking. And I think our kids are going to rise to this challenge. I think they know. We are not trying to take education around technology away from them. We are trying to teach them that we don't want it to consume us, and we want to make sure that we're still learning those skills of communicating, looking people in the eyes, you know, talking next to the person that's next to you, not just looking down. So we understand there are times when when they leave the building and they go to the workplace, they may have to use their phone because they may be a supervisor in charge of many people. But right now, they are in charge of themselves, and our staff have really asked for this as well. They need their full attention. They need their engagement. And whether it's put away in a pocket or a box, they can still hear that buzz of a notification. Or if they have a smart watch, they may get a notification too. So we would like to eliminate all those distractions.
I think that's an important note that the public needs to know. It's not just students who won't be using their cell phones.
Yeah, we've talked to our staff about this. We would like them to role model this. Obviously, our staff are in charge of students. So there are times when a staff member may need to notify us that they need our assistance, and they have to do it by their phone because it's private. If they use the phone on the wall, a student could maybe hear the conversation. So there are going to be times when our staff will be on their phones, but we also expect that they're role modeling for our students and not distracted by, you know, social media platforms and doing that during the work day. So that will be expressed to our staff right away, and I think that they're going to be willing to jump on board with that.
Well, I myself too think it's a great idea. In fact, I was talking one day, and it was a Richland Center teacher, a Weston teacher, and a River Valley teacher, and they all thought this was an awesome idea that all the schools need to participate.
We've actually gotten phone calls from local districts, and another local district is likely going to this. They've asked to look at our handbook changes and our wording because they'd like to use this as well. So I feel like it's awesome that we're kind of like triumphing this lead, and they're gonna follow, and they're asking us for advice.
Well, I did see in the school board minutes that CESA 3 is actually kind of supporting you and behind you and wants that information as well.
We met with a CESA 3 representative a couple weeks ago for a training. Ryan and I were in a training for educator effectiveness just to learn how to evaluate our teachers. And this was brought up in conversation just during a break. And so she asked for our handbook wording to share with other schools around. So I feel like this is going to happen. More and more schools are going to say, yes, we need this as well. We meet every month with Southwest Conference principals, and we discuss this. It's on our agenda every time, just the distraction that the cell phones are causing, whether it be our students are just anxious about what things are being posted about them, and then that consumes them the whole day long, or we just, as principals in the area, this is a conversation. So this will be happening around us.
Well, and it's a safety issue as well, isn't it?
Yeah. One thing we talked about, Ryan kind of talked about the board meeting. We had a situation last school year where a student was having a medical event, and we needed to clear the lunchroom because we wanted to give them privacy while we worked through what was going on with them. And so we had our students go into the gymnasium. It was their lunch break, but they had finished lunch, almost time to pass classes. And so we had all of our students in the gym while we worked with the student out that needed our help. And students started messaging their parents that we were in a lockdown. And in fact, we weren't. We were just in a hold to give the student the medical attention they needed. So then we had parents calling us, wondering why we weren't communicating that we were in a lockdown, and we weren't. We were just, you know, doing the protocol we do. So it will help with safety. We have Officer Wilson in our building, our community resource officer. He stands behind this too. He works with us every day and sees the distractions and the problems that the cell phones do cause.
Well, it's, you know, it's going to be different for the kids on that first day because there's no leeway. It's right day one, right?
Yes. We plan to meet with the students at the beginning of the day. We always do at the start of the school year to talk about big changes or just to kind of get them excited about the school year ahead. And so we will roll this out and let them know that this is the expectation. We'll give them time to put them away after that meeting. We don't expect right from the get-go that everybody knows about this, but we'll roll it out that first day of school so they know the expectations for the school year.
All right. Well, we'll be back with more about the Richland School District, and we're going to hear from Ryan Lemke. He wants to talk numbers after this break.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project.
Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hello, this is Kenny, the wannabe baker from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe in downtown Richland Center. Looking for a sweet treat or a delicious lunch? Stop into Christie's.
Emily, Ella, Erica, or Tina will be more than happy to serve you. Our summer hours are Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 4, and Saturday, 8 to 2.
Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Hey, Truck and Tractor Pole fans, the Southwest Wisconsin Pullers hope that you can join us this summer at one of our Truck and Tractor Pole events. Thank you to these 2025 season sponsors, including Dan's Diesel Performance, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Augelli Concrete, Cardinal CG, Chasson Smoke, Julie Karen State Farm Agent, Slama Equipment, the Phoenix Center, Wisconsin River Welding, and the Lonesome Dove. Visit southwestwipullers.com to find a truck and tractor pole near you.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She's working two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting invites you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, and have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA-acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Back to the morning show, where you have Carrie Stoltz, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Richland School District, and Liz Perkins and Ryan Lemke, who are co-principals at the high school. And Ryan, there's quite a few different opportunities in the Richland School District anymore, which really increases numbers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. We have a ton of alternative education programs in district now, and I think we were joking about yesterday that Liz and I need some flashcards to remember all the acronyms and stuff, but they're all great and they all serve their own purpose, and it's a great problem to have, right? If we have so many programs to fit all the needs of all of our learners in district, that's a great situation. Start with some of them at the high school. The first one, our oldest in terms of most recent of these ads, is our partner school, which is happens at formerly East Hall of our campus, Richland College campus, excuse me. Okay, so it's partner. It's a project-based learning where students can earn credit through different project-based in their interests, and they can even earn some credit in the workplace. So it's been an absolutely amazing program. It's growing. It's continued to grow every year with Kim Siefkis as the lead teacher over there leading the charge, and it's been great. So that's been the first one. A newer one this year is our Hive program, which is an online program. So we used to have ROA, Richland Online Academy, and that's kind of transitioned to Hive. And we've hired two teachers to oversee the Hive program. And we actually have around 45 students enrolled as of today in the program. And that's a big jump. Out of that 45, 25 new students that are new to the district. So it's been fantastic, and it's early still. We imagine that number to keep growing as we continue through summer and even through the school year. Students are going to figure out what their needs are as a learner and say, hey, I think I can do this. Or maybe they're coming from another district that doesn't offer something, and we gladly welcome those students as well. So this doesn't mean that you are just in the Richland School District to enroll in Hive. We're going to welcome students from neighboring districts as well as potentially all over the state that need an online platform to learn.
Is it possible to do like a hybrid where you do part of it like the Hive online and part of it in the classroom?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do have some students that are going to do that. We'll actually have an area where they can hang out, and if they need some extra assistance by one of our teachers, that we have areas for them to go, as well as we have some students enrolled in band or choir or some art classes or maybe a tech ed class here or there that it's kind of hard to get in the online setting. So yeah, we have that happening. We're going to accommodate those students to the best of our ability, and we think it's going to be a great program moving forward. Again, just the fact that we have real educators in building that can assist our students with this is something very unique to an online program. You know, there's some programs in the state that are, you know, big online programs, but they don't necessarily have that person that a student can connect with and get help from, and in terms of come in and meet with you face to face. There's something to be said about in-face learning as well, if they need that extra assistance, and we have that opportunity for them. You know, Liz just talked about our cell phone change for this year and screens in general, right? We talk about screens having a negative effect on children, but if a student learns better through a screen, we're gonna encourage them to do that. But maybe there's those times where they just need an extra helping hand with the concept that they're learning.
Now, you mentioned that they can still come in too and do band and choir and those things and art. Are students on the online programs eligible for sports as well?
Yeah, they are. We have several students that are in the program that are signed up for fall sports, and they're going to be our student athletes. So they're part of the district. Okay, they're essentially an extension of the high school. So, and not just sports, different activities. They could join different clubs and organizations as well. So we're really excited about this. We anticipate this is going to continue to grow and be a very, very successful program. You know, we've had some help from a district a little bit up north in creating this that has one. Again, but we're one of the districts in the area that is able to offer this for students, so we're super excited about that.
With these different programs, have you seen a change in numbers?
Yeah, we have, and you know, like I said, we have 45 students enrolled, but 25 of those students are new to the district, so that's just plus 25 for our Hive program alone. Partner students, we continue to get students from neighboring districts that are coming and opening and rolling in to be a part of Partner. We actually had a couple students last school year that there was a waiting list to get into Partner. They knew they couldn't get in to Partner, but they enrolled in Richland Center High School, did a couple quarters in building at the high school, and then because they've waited and they were selected for the lottery to go over there starting in the fall. So their patience and their determination to get in a Partner paid off in a big way. We continue that. We expect that these programs are continue to boost enrollment. There's a few other programs that I'd like to mention as well. We have our GED program, which is currently housed in building, and that is kind of set up for maybe some students that are maybe credit deficient that haven't earned credits in the traditional route or haven't done school for this, that, or the other reason, and they're coming back, and we'll welcome them back, and we'll work, and we have some amazing staff members that are saints. that are, have been able to get students through the program and get them the education and their certificate. So we have that. It's Miss Mulholland and Mrs. Clarkson that are running the GED program, as well as Mrs. May for next fall. So we're really excited about that program continuing. We have a brand new I Thrive Behavior Academy in district, and that's for pre-K to grade four is the range for that program. It's for our younger students that maybe need some behavior assistance and social skills to work on, but that will be taking place up in Rockbridge this school year. It's brand new. Elisa Brown will be heading that operation. We're really excited about that. It sounds like that there was a whole bunch of districts in the area that have reached out and looking to send students to that program to not only support those districts, but support those students in that program. So we're really excited about that. It's something that we've needed, and it's been lacking in this part of the state. Okay, we have sent students to different programs like this, all the way to Prairie, up to Reedsburg. So just to be able to offer it right here in Center is amazing. We have our off-campus alternative education. Okay, that's a program for students that for a variety of reasons they could attend that, where they can't come back to campus, or they don't want to come back to campus, or whatever it is, or they just need a lot of additional support. It's a great program that we're offering. And then we have our RC program, which is a small school in a school environment. Each building, in terms of the high school, the intermediate school, and the primary school, has an RC program with a teacher in charge of that. I think the intermediate school is in the hiring process for their position for that teacher, but it's been a great program. I'll speak to the high school. We had 7 to 8 students in that program last year. It changed numbers at times because students would learn different skills and become more successful. We're like, okay, they want to try back into the mainstream classroom, and we felt they were ready, and it was a great program. And we're getting a new wave of 7th and 8th grade students into the building, and we think there could be some good fits for that program to build those school skills for our building, as well as even some freshmen continuing on into the program that were 8th graders last year. So it's been great. We have Mrs. Benish as our teacher for that. She was a former counselor at a neighboring district for a lot of years. So she came back and wanted to get back in the classroom, and it's been an absolutely great fit. So we've got a lot going on in terms of different educational platforms and environments, and we're really, really proud of them and really excited for the brand new ones that are starting in the fall.
Sounds like the district is trying to meet the needs of everyone in the community.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's not a student that I can think of that we don't have something that would fit for them, right? And that was not the case 3 or 4 years ago when we didn't have these. We truly, we were missing students along the way, and that's not the case anymore. And I think we still just look around at other districts and say, okay, when we meet with other principals, you're missing that, right? We are proud that we're not missing any of those students, and we're going to continue to refine and improve these programs. They're all not perfect. We know that, especially the ones that are brand new. We don't know what we don't know. So we're going to continue to work on this and really make sure that all of our students and our educational needs and social needs and emotional needs are met along the way. So there's always work to be done. We know that, but we're in a great spot as a district, and we are becoming a destination for students all in the area, and we're seeing that with our enrollment trends as of late.
You know, I've been thinking as you're talking about all these different programs and the increase of students from outside the district, and I know the funding is based on your enrollment at certain count times. Do all these extra programs help with that count to possibly get more state aid?
Big time. Yep. Yes, it certainly does. I think that was one of our things, that there's a really nasty graph that we've all seen at an administrative level, and it was our students that we were losing to open enrollment, and we realized it was a problem, and we realized that we need to fix some things. And I think Mr. Board is kind of where a lot of these programs were envisioned from that graph, right? And we're doing a great job in chipping away at that graph, and we're starting to see it, and it's starting to become a snowball effect where students are not only coming back to the Richland School District, but starting in and remaining in the Richland School District. So we're in a great spot. These programs are helping bring students from other districts, as well as bringing students back to our district that we're open and rolling out. And then just the other piece that I want to talk on is our foreign exchange students. We have a great foreign exchange program, and these students help in that count as well. At this point, we have 4 exchange students for next fall, one from Estonia, one from Switzerland, one from France, and one from Germany. And that's a great opportunity for our students in building to be able to experience different cultures by meeting and becoming friends with these students. And we see that our students in building, they're lifelong friends. We've seen them go back and visit their home countries, and that's a great not only an additional 4 students to help with those things like aid that you mentioned, but just create awesome friendships along the way for our current students.
And some of those students stay just a semester, and some are here the whole year, aren't they?
Yeah, these 4 will all be here for the year. Okay, so we're really excited about that, and we usually end up with 7 or 8. Okay, but that number varies a little bit depending on the programs that have students that are abroad that are interested in it. So, not a whole lot we can do to advertise for that. But Kathy Fry is amazing in the work that she does, and helping get our exchange students to our building.
And it's interesting that you have so many programs. Just, you know, education has changed so much. It's not just you put 30 kids in a classroom with one teacher and they all get taught the same thing in the same way.
Yeah, it's constantly evolving. In district, we're doing everything we can to stay ahead of the evolution and make sure that our students are best suited to be successful and be college and career ready when they graduate. And I think that's one of the district's goals is you know, have them be college and career ready. We want them to go on a college and be successful in their major. Maybe they're not sure what they're going to do and they're going to find their major, but if we can help in any way, maybe we can even rule things out along the way for them, because that's beneficial too, right? You know, a student takes a welding class and say, I hate that, I never want to do that again. Great, awesome, now you know, right? On to the next option. So, and career ready as well. You know, we have a whole bunch of students that are going right into the workforce, and we're aware of that. And I think, you know, 15 years ago, education as a whole was kind of forcing the 4-year college down everyone's throat, and that's not the way things are, and it's not the way things necessarily should be, right? It's all about the needs and wants of each individual student, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure our students are ready when they graduate as seniors with the Richland School District, that they're college and career ready, and they're either thriving in college or thriving in the workforce, and we're creating those life skills that they'll use forever. That's what it's all about to me when I see students that graduated or come back and they're doing this, that, or the other, or they're still in school and they're loving it, and they're going to school for this, that, or whatever. It's great to see. It's great to hear their stories, and that's what it's all about for me as an educator and someone that's leading a building when you have those success stories and those students come back and share their story with us.
Now, you've shared a lot of different programs the district offers, and if a listener happens to be listening today and is interested in more information on any of those programs, how can they find it?
Yeah, great question. If you're interested in the Hive program or partner, the application is linked online for those on our district website. So, but if you need help finding that or need extra assistance, any 3 of us are happy to help with those things, or just call down to the district office and we'll get you pointed in the right direction. So those are online applications. The GED program and Alt Ed off campus and the RC program that I mentioned, Mrs. Perkins and I will kind of decide if it's the right fit for those programs. They're great programs, but it has to be the right fit for it, for a student. So call and have those conversations with us. We'll happy to point you in the right direction with what we can offer, as well as, our iThrive program. It's going to be start very small, I think capped at 4 or 5 students in this first year. And that might be even on the high end of things, but as we try to figure out what this program is going to look like. But if you have questions about it, please call. We're happy to talk to people. At the summer, Carrie mentioned it, it's a lot, and things come up, but it's also a lot of screen time for us, which I'm not good at screen time and sitting at the desk and working on those things. So the more interaction with people I have, the better. So I love those phone calls in the summer when students pop in and say hi. I encourage that. So if anyone's listening with questions about any of our new programs or existing programs, call and ask. We're happy to help out.
What caught my ear just then is you said maybe the iThrive only has 5 to 7 students this year. The online academy only had a few students, and now you said you're up to 45.
Yep.
You know, so there's chance for growth in any of the programs.
Yeah, exactly. And this iThrive is one of these programs that we really, really want to be careful about starting really small, because it's going to be the needs of our learners there are going to be so great at times that we want to make sure we're not overdoing it to start. So we anticipate this program growing. That's the goal. To have it grow, but in year one, it's gonna be relatively small, just so we can get things off the feet, off the ground, and off to, on the right foot. And again, we do believe it will grow. We're really excited about it, but we want to be very cautious and make sure it's good to go.
Do you see that then as more of a personalized one-on-one type education?
Yeah, absolutely. I think each student that will be going, we know each student's different, right? But the students that will be going to iThrive have very high needs in a lot of different areas and ways. So there's going to be a lot of one-on-one work with each students. There's going to be a few staff members up there to be able to help with that, and really trying to help the student socially and emotionally, as well as academically. But I think the priorities there is social and emotional growth and working on those skills. So, you know, if we can help a student become better socially and emotionally, it'll lead to our ability to get them the academic skills that they need.
All right. And again, if they want any information on any of these programs, they can just contact you or Liz at the high school.
Absolutely.
All right. Carrie.
Yeah.
Do you have more you wanted to talk about?
No, I will just, I'll reiterate that what Ryan said. If anyone has any questions about anything they heard here, or anything you see from the district, whether it's, you know, the mailer that you got or summer food service or anything, we have one main number, 608-649-HIVE-4483. And you can call that at any time. You can be connected directly to any of the buildings, or the district administrator is happy to direct your call. If you want to talk to anyone about anything, please leave a message. Please reach out. We really appreciate hearing from the public. I mean, Steve Ward has been a pusher on some of these new initiatives, but I mean, the ideas come from somewhere. And if we know that our families or our kiddos are really needing something, we love ideas. We love hearing from our community. So yes, if you have questions or concerns, please reach out. We're all very approachable, and I hope, and would love to speak to our community. In addition to that, I will just put in a couple more plugs. Just in closing, super registration, August 12th, 1 to 7. Try and get there if you can. There will be picture retakes for anyone who's maybe on vacation that week or something. And then online registration will be open before that, so you can have a lot of your paperwork done already. Summer food service is still going strong, so if you are participating in that program, it's every Thursday. Try not to forget to pick up your meal packets. And if you are going to be gone, just let our food service know. Again, you can call that number, 608-649-HIVE, and let them know that you're not available to come that week. The gals are doing a great job, and we really appreciate all that they're doing this summer. And then also, school supply lists are up on the website. So www.richland.k12.wi.us, and you can find your school supply list for your school. RCPS, IS, and HS all have different school supply lists. The younger ones are a little more involved, so once they get to the high school, it's basically notebooks and pens, but there's a few classes that have specialized needs as well. And just a note that classes may also need supplies during the year, so this is probably not a comprehensive list, especially at the high school level, but they are out there. And if you are a mom or dad who's really on the ball and looking to get supplies all now, you can do that. Those are available. Nothing like the smell of fresh pencils and paper. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to Carrie Stoltz, Liz Perkins, and Ryan Lemke for updating us on what's going on at the Richland School District. I'm Joanne Krulatz, and Phil Nee will be back on Monday.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes. So it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
The sun is out, summer is in full swing. It's time to check in on your UV awareness. The Richland Hospital and Clinics reminds you ultraviolet rays are high this time of year. If you've had your share of sunburns and deep tans over the years, it's time to schedule a skin check. Early detection leads to far better outcomes, so don't wait. Remember, any skin color is susceptible to skin cancer. Take the first step. Call for a skin check at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Stay sun smart until the sun sets.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, today let's talk about a subject I don't know if we've talked about or we haven't tackled for a while, but the death of pets.
Yeah, the funeral home, we actually get quite a few calls about this, of people that will ask, well, you know, my pet died. Will you guys cremate my pet? You know, we have a funeral for my pet. We've got that call before. You know, can I bury it? So our licenses are really only good for people, but we can kind of help out people with how this works. Is if a pet dies, the funeral home, we cannot cremate that pet. Our crematory is licensed for human only. It says it right in our ordinance. Ours is with the City of Richland Center. Ours is only good for people. Now, we encourage people, if they want to get their pet cremated, to contact their local vet office, and they do have the resources to do that. It's something we've looked into, not necessarily something we've gotten into. So if your pet has died, if you want to have that individual pet cremated, contact your local vet. Other questions we have from people is, can I bury my pet with me? Or if my pet is cremated, can it be with me? The answer is yes, it can. You can't necessarily take your pet to a cemetery and just bury your pet as your pet on your own grave plot. Cemeteries really, most of them have rules against it, so it's really frowned upon to do that. Now, where this comes into play So let's say your pet died years ago and it has been cremated. You're still living. At the time of your death, your pet can be either put in your casket with you. We have pets that actually have their ashes put in the same urn as their owners. Sometimes the owners actually want the cremated remains commingled with their own because it was such a part of their family. At that point, then you can still bury that pet with the owner in a cemetery if you'd want to, because we are burying human remains. If a pet is still living when the individual dies, some pets do get put down and get put in caskets or get, you know, put with their owners. It's something that we as a funeral home, once again, don't handle. We don't necessarily always encourage you to put your pet down with the owner. But sometimes those situations dictate where the pet was really kind of not doing well either, but they, you know, the family maybe was thinking about putting it down, but they kind of let it live because it was a very important part of mom's life. So at the time that mom passes away, they go to the local vet's office and they do have that pet put down. And then we can either put that pet, if it's cremated, in the casket with that individual. We've also put, you know, uncremated pets in the caskets with people. So there are different options with pets of how you want to bury. I know down by Blue River on Jones Lake, there is a pet cemetery down there. It is less regulated on what you may want to do for burials of pets. Like, there are city ordinances against that you can't bury human remains in your yard, but they're not necessarily isn't a city ordinance that you can't bury your pet in your yard. So there are different options. The funeral home can kind of help you out a little bit. So can your local veterinarian about what happens, you know, either my pet has died or it's sick, or, you know, I have these cremated remains of, you know, these pets that mom, they're very special to mom. What can I do with those? At that point, we can kind of help you out with what do we do. It is amazing how many pets do get buried with people. If they're cremated, you know, we can put the urns in there. So there's a lot of different options that are available with your pets to keep them with you.
Have you hosted a visitation for a pet yet, Mark, or not?
We have not hosted a visitation for a pet solely. Now, we have brought up the pet that they are maybe, you know, in the casket with their loved one. Their urn is there. Sometimes we even display the urns at them, and then we put them in at the time of death. The one that is the most memorable is we had a lady that said she wanted to be buried with her pets. Okay, no big deal. She died. She failed to mention that there were 17 pets. So they brought in a giant box, and so we had to kind of actually get a bigger urn vault to bury the individual because she was cremated. But to get 17 pets,